The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I should be writing number 392. It's a car cast because I'm behind.
Well, I should be riding. I should be working on my craft. I should be riding. I should be submitting my next draft. But I'm sitting home watching Doctor.
Hi there, welcome to I Should Be Writing, the podcast for wannabe fiction writers. I'm your host, Murr. And I am doing this from the car because I just recorded one in the house, and now I have to drive somewhere, and I need to record another one because I want to get back on weekly shows. So I'm sorry. I don't usually do podcasts in the car if you're a new listener, so don't think this is the way things usually are. But I wanted to talk about something. It is getting to be convention season. Man, I feel like it's later in the year than it is, but it's only February. But still, you've got BossCon is coming up, and there's all the Memorial Day cons, Balticon, WisCon. There's too many cons to mention, but if there's one around you, then I recommend going, because it's networking unlike anywhere you can network anywhere else. And you can learn stuff from panels, and you can meet your favorite authors, and maybe meet an agent or an editor. But the thing is, how do you do this? How do you go to cons? What do you do? What is the proper way of being? What is the way to do it right? What is the way to do it wrong? So, I haven't covered conventions in a while, so I want to go back to that topic. You know, the idea of dress for the job you want, and of course all you geeks are going, well, then I'm going to dress like Batman or Wonder Woman. But it goes the same way in science fiction, or writing in general. You have to decide when you're going to a convention that you're not a fan and you're not a wannabe writer. You are going to be acting like a writer. And I'm not saying lie, and I'm not saying you can't tell someone you love their work. Telling people that you love their work is something that everybody does at every con, everywhere, all the time. I'm saying you want to talk about what you're reading, you want to talk about the work that has meant a lot to you. When you talk to editors and agents, you want to talk about work that they have either published or represented that meant a lot to you. You're going to have to do some homework. Figure out what editors and agents are going to be there and what they are, who they represent or what they publish. It makes a big impression when you talk to somebody like you know their work instead of asking them what their work is. Asking them what their work is okay, but it makes a bigger deal if you go up and you say, you know, that author that you published, you know, that book meant a great deal to me. They like hearing that. They like knowing that you know who they are. I mean, if you've ever read any publishers or agents online talk about how much they hate getting dear sir / madam, they want to know that you've done your homework and that you're querying them for a specific reason, not just they are agent or they are editor. Same goes for conventions. So what else? Despite the fun stories and the fun pictures and the glitter, there was glittering happening at Confusion. I was lucky enough to avoid it, but some people that I like and respect very highly ended up getting eyebrows, facial hair, all sorts of things glitterfied. It was a little scary. Despite all of that, we still have to remember that this is work. All of this is work. And so you think about what you would or would not do at work and apply that to conventions. I was at a convention once where a up-and-coming author was walking around pretending to fart on everyone. And perhaps that made this person fit in better with the people they were trying to fit into. But I had very little desire to meet them, put them on my show, help them promote a book, anything like that, just because that first impression really turned me off. You're not there to be silly and have fun anymore. You're there to work. The other basic stuff. No one is going to judge you for deciding that you do not want to drink. No one is going to judge you for deciding that you're tired and you want to go to bed. I think a lot more people get uptight about peer pressure than at least I've really experienced. My friend Scott Sigler had a podcast. I don't know if he still does it, but he had a podcast where he would do 5 questions to an author, and the author would have to take a shot of Tuaca after each question. And, you know, I had had enough bad hangovers in my life. I was in my mid-30s, and I said, no, I'm not going to do that. And he called me a word that I don't want to put on, I don't say on this podcast. Scott's a friend. I didn't take offense. It was playful. But it was a little bit of peer pressure. And I'm like, huh, you know what? I'm 35. You can't. I can think to the consequences of the actions of drinking all this alcohol. And that is has a stronger effect on me than you peer pressuring me. So, no. That's like the most I've got. And that was a friend. And it wasn't a whole lot of peer pressure. I'm not trying to talk crap about Scott. I'm just saying it was one of those things that came up and I went, huh, I'm an adult. I don't have to. Some people feel like they have to drink if they go to bars. They feel like they have to stay up until 2 a.m. chatting with people. People are hanging around talking all day. They are having breakfasts. They are having business breakfasts and networking breakfasts. And they are having coffees. And they are having just hangout time. Editors and agents and authors have cafe clutches you can sign up for. And you could just go to a bar and get a drink. Any drink. No one's going to ask you how much alcohol is in that glass. No one's going to care. And if they ask if they can buy you a drink, just say, yeah, thanks, I'll have a Coke. I mean, there are plenty of people who don't drink because they don't like it. They don't drink because of religious reasons. Or they don't drink because I don't know the reason, but they don't, and maybe it's none of my business. But they almost all hang out at convention bars. So you can think about that and know that there are other people around you. You don't have to think that you're the only one that's at the bar and not drinking, with a capital D. I mean, heck, sometimes to save money, once I discovered that the sodas are like $4, if I don't want to drink, I'll ask if I could just get some club soda. And then one place charged me $4 for a club soda, so I don't like them very much. But really, You got to stop worrying about what other people are thinking about how you have fun. If you're not hurting anybody else, I mean. So after that, if you do drink, let's talk about that. Now, yes, people in science fiction do drink and they do party and they do get drunk and they do commit karaoke at Confusion, at least. I think I was lucky because I missed a lot of the karaoke because I was in a conversation with somebody, and once I realized that karaoke was happening, almost all of my friends had already sung and had left. So that was probably for the best, because I no doubt would have looked for something obnoxious and punk from the 80s to sing. The last karaoke I did, I sang a song that I also can't sing on this podcast. So, still, it's a good idea to know your limits. It's a good idea to make sure that you keep your wits about you. You don't want to get drunk and stupid at an editor that you're trying to charm. Let's talk about harassment. No one likes to think that they are doing harassment. But essentially, if you're pushing yourself on somebody who doesn't want to talk to you, then you need to leave them alone. And I hate saying this because you'd like to think that everybody knows common sense and how to approach people and not make people feel really, really, really uncomfortable. But this happens at almost every convention, where someone will think that that someone owes them something. And it's not even like assault or anything. It's just sometimes people follow other people around and won't leave them alone if they express the desire to be left alone. And then sometimes you realize that you have made someone uncomfortable and they have told you so, and you want to apologize and be forgiven. Asking for this is continuing to harass. You're not owed a gracious response to your apology. Apologize and then move on. I was watching an episode of Friends the other day, and there's one where Monica and Rachel gets frightened by a man in the basement of their apartment complex, and they throw a roach fogger thing on him. And when they realize that he was not a scary attacking person, they go up to apologize to him, and he's not real open to hearing their apology. And they get mad at him because he did not accept their apology well enough. And knowing that, I know people who've been harassed because they would not listen or accept someone's apology in the way that the person who was apologizing wanted them to, this episode got a new uncomfortable flavor to me. And if you do this, you shouldn't do it to anybody. Not a reader, not a fan, not an aspiring author. But if you do it to a editor or agent, that can damage your career. So learn to take no for an answer. And that means everywhere, from flirting to if you see your idol in the bathroom, maybe don't talk to them there. Maybe talk to them somewhere else. Bathroom is a weird and vulnerable place, and a lot of people don't like to talk in it. Smaller details. Do have a elevator pitch for your novel if you're working on something. Say what other works it's like. My current work is Blue's Clues meets 1984. It's weird, it's intriguing. People usually laugh. But don't ever say whatever it is better than the current bestseller. Don't say it's better than Harry Potter or you're the next J.K. Rowling. Don't insult any author. But have a quick elevator pitch. Do not offer to give editors or agents your manuscript. They do not want to be carrying 50 pages, lots and lots of stuff, 50 pages around and back home with them. They don't want... If they ask you about your book, give them the elevator pitch, and that's it. And then you follow up afterwards. You should probably get their card, and then you can say, hey, we spoke at this convention. You mentioned that you liked my book. Here's the sample that you requested, or I'm just following up with you to see if you're taking submissions right now. Things like that. Don't pitch unless you're asked to. But if you are asked to, be ready. If you see one of your favorite authors in the bar, don't ask them for an autograph if they have an autograph session. For two reasons. One, it's kind of rude and it interrupts whatever they're doing. And two, it sucks to have no one come to your autographing. Really, it does. You know, the more people who I sign for in the hall, that's fewer people that are going to come around when I'm actually scheduled to sit down and wait for people to come get an autograph. And the funny thing is, I don't have a lot of people who want autographs. So for me, that's a big deal. For someone like George R. R. Martin, it's a big deal because he says you have to see him at his signing or else people would be bothering him all the time to sign stuff in the hallway. So respect autograph times. I had a friend who I was hanging out with all the time at Confusion and actually brought her a copy of the book that she wanted. And she still waited until my autographing to get it signed. Trying to think of what else. Take care of yourself. I know I'm going to sound like your mom here, but it's make sure you get enough water, especially if you're drinking. Make sure you get enough to eat. Make sure you get enough to sleep. Those are all important things that if you don't do, you may not enjoy the con as much as you should. So take care of yourself. The rule usually is the 1-2-3 rule. 3 hours of sleep, 2 meals, 1 shower every day. That's just considered polite and, you know, healthy. The thing about me is if you do, if I did 3 hours of sleep a night, I would die. So for me, it's a much larger thing, but I think the 3-2-1 thing is just to be clever. Hey, did you know that I Should Be Writing has a sponsor now? I Should Be Writing is supported by Cereal Box. It's called the HBO of Reading by National Public Radio. Cereal Box brings you gripping stories written by best-selling and award-winning teams of writers with new episodes every week. They're the addictive new shows you can read or listen to. The Cereal Box app lets you switch from listening to reading with a click. So join the plot with Cereal Box. Right now, I Should Be Writing listeners can get 20% off of any first season of a Cereal Box series. Head over to cerealbox.com and enter the promo code WRITING18. 18 are numerals. That's SERIALBOX.com, and the code is WRITING18. And you know, I write for Cereal Box, so I really, really want you to go over there and check it out. I wrote on Bookburners. I've been there since season one, and it is, I think it's pretty awesome. So that's just me. But if you like YA, they've got something for you. If you like romance, they've got something for you. If you like spy, they got something for you. If you like geek girls, I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff over there. So check it out. And now I'm back. I'm out of the car. The audio is better. Thank you for bearing with me. I think that's all I have to say about the subject of conventions. If you would like to ask me questions, feel free to email me. I have a couple of questions I want to discuss. One very detailed question came in that I'm not going to read, but I want to mention on the subject of workshops. And the question was essentially how somebody wanted the workshop to be a step on the path to publication, and the other person wanted more opinions on very, very rough drafts that were incomplete, and there were some friction going on there. And I basically said, you need to make sure everybody understands what everybody wants out of the workshop. So if you're expecting a certain kind of critique, you're not going to get something else. but everybody pretty much should agree on what the purpose of the workshop is, or writer's group, rather. Okay, Jason writes, how do you refocus after a long day? I have a 40-hour week day job. I plan on writing after dinner, but sometimes my day job gets so frustrating or aggravating that my mind just spins and I lose the mood to write. How do you refocus on your writing after days like that? You know, I don't know. I should get Cameron Hurley back on the show to talk about that, because I do not have a day job, so I try to get my writing done in the morning. If the afternoon doesn't work, or the evening doesn't work, try the morning, because your brain might be, it's before you get angry and frustrated and everything. I find it very difficult to do work at night. Sometimes I think, oh, it's 4 o'clock, I have to go and get the kid and then come home and make dinner, and I think, When I'm done with all that, I'll get back to work, and I almost never do. I just shut down. So I find that if I don't get my work done in the morning, then chances are very low that I'll get it done at all. Second question is about RPGs. Can I go into detail about how it works? What you do is someone has to write everything in the RPGs you pick up. Everything from the flavor text to the descriptions of areas to descriptions of NPCs to the rules. So when I started writing for RPGs, I basically got a reference from somebody, and then I did a storyteller chapter for a book. So I just wrote about what the game runners needed to know and how to run the best game. And from there, I got other jobs, usually writing more narrative stuff rather than rules. I did write rules once, learned that that's where algebra's used when you're a kid and you hate algebra and you wonder where it's used in the real world. Game writing is the answer. But I'm not the one who designed the game. The designers are people who send out assignments. So that's how that works. At least it did when I did it a while ago. How writing RPGs works, the developer gives you an assignment. They give you a deadline. They tell you how very, very little money you're going to be making. And then they're available for questions, but they should help you out with some reference materials. And then you turn in stuff on time, and if you turn in stuff on time and you're not a jerk to work with, then you will be head and shoulders above several people. As for actually getting the first job, I don't know. I did networking, so I heard that networking at gaming conventions can help. Sean writes, I've been rewriting a story that went from third person to first when I really found the voice. I'm getting great feedback, but I keep hearing that it lacks narrative immediacy. Any tips on how to remedy that? I'm not sure what that means. It sounds like somebody wants it to be present tense, because that's usually where I hear the word immediacy, is that present tense makes you feel like something's happening right now, and it's very tense. That's the only thing I can think of, but I've never suggested somebody change their tense to present tense. It's not my favorite thing. But if you keep hearing it, I think you mean need to ask the people who are giving you the feedback if they can give you more specifics, because not knowing what your story is, I'm not sure how to suggest you fix that. And that's pretty much it. If you want to get in touch with me, I'm at mightymer@gmail.com and at merverse.com, where you can find the blog and show notes and all that stuff. If you want to support me on Patreon, you will help me pay for transcriptions to make the site more accessible, or rather the podcast more accessible. And that is at patreon.com/mightymer. Or you can tell a friend, you know, tell a friend about I Should Be Writing. It's totally free, and there's a whole lot of older episodes that are available. And if you contribute to the Patreon, you get the entire archive. So think about it. You can also support me by getting my books, Six Wakes, which is up for the Philip K. Dick Award this year. I Should Be Writing, which is a nonfiction book connected to this podcast. Figure that out. And I also am one of the writers of Book Burners, which you heard about earlier in the podcast. So, that's me and that's my stuff. And now it's time to get on to the next thing, because we both should be writing.
Remember, you can support the show at patreon.com/mightymer. I Should Be Writing theme music provided by John Anilio. You can find more about him at johnanilio.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license.